Is it a caravan? Is it a cabin? Is it a destination? Maybe just your backyard. Wherever you are headed this long weekend, we are that much closer. Friday morning, Evan Bray, great to have you here. And boy, it has been a week, hasn't it? We have talked about so many different things. We've had a week-long great guests, and it's going to continue this morning. We've got a full show for you the Friday before the long weekend. Lots to chat about. Provincial politics, federal politics, plans for the weekend, a rain gauge check-in. Some parts of the province, 3 inches, over 3 inches, which is hard to believe. In other province, other parts of the province, not a drop of rain. $80 million bucks, too. That just awarded the biggest single lottery award in Canadian history. What would you do with 80? Frank says, you wouldn't even see me. There would be no one behind the glass if Frank wins $80 million. But he didn't. He's here this morning, and we're glad you are as well. Speaking of the long weekend, the crew from Tourism Saskatchewan will be popping in later this morning. So much to see and do in the province. We'll highlight some of the great destinations and events. John Mazkow, we've had John on the show before. He's going to stop by to talk water safety, boat safety, swimming safety ahead of this weekend. I don't know if there's going to be a lot of swimming. There'll be boats. There'll be boats on the lake for sure. And he's bringing with him his canine, Gustav. Gustav, the dog, will be here, Saskatchewan's only active water rescue canine. A reminder about invasive species, we'll check in with the Government of Saskatchewan Environment team on that. And, of course, our regular Friday segments, Belton Johnson, great weekend to try one of his recipes with It's Eatin' Time. Bugs and Hugs coming up at 10 and a whole lot more. So let's get going. Here is today's Big Talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome. Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show, The Big Talker.
Well, we've spent a lot of time talking federal politics, of course, with the recent election and what has unfolded recently. But it's been a busy few months at the Saskatchewan legislature as well. Following last year's provincial election, the spring sitting just wrapped up yesterday. As we take a reflective look at what's got done, what didn't get done, and what this means heading into summer and eventually the fall, we bring into the studio our own 980 CJME senior reporter, Lisa Schick, who follows the Saskatchewan legislature and joins us in studio today. Lisa, thanks for popping in.
Yeah, good morning.
So last day yesterday, the spring, this one seemed a little bit shorter. Was it condensed?
Yeah, it was shorter. Normally it would start, you know, early March.
Right.
About that. This year it started kind of later in March, and actually the first day was the day that they put down the budget.
Right.
And I know the premier had said, that's normal. We've done that before. And they have done it before, but I don't know if I'd call it normal. Mm-hmm. I went back and looked at the calendars back to, I think, 2007, and they had only done that 1 year, and that was 2021. And if I remember correctly, that had something to do with pandemic restrictions.
Was there anything that stood out for you before we kind of get into some of the nuanced discussions? Anything from this spring session that stood out for you following this?
You know, you talk about, we've been talking a lot about federal politics, and that did come into play in the in the legislature. And what did stand out for me was the premier coming out and explicitly endorsing Pierre Poilievre ahead of the federal election. And that's a little bit unusual. I mean, his party had been in the House, you know, talking about, well, there's only one party that's going to be really good for Saskatchewan. There's only one party that's going to build pipelines, and so kind of implicitly endorsing.
I was going to say, it wasn't a surprise.
Yeah, certainly
not. That would be where his vote would go, but it's not necessarily common.
Yeah, it's not rare. It's not something you see every election. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think about following our provincial election, and you and I talked about this, the premier in his speech after the election when he was accepting the win, which was a big one for the SAS party, fifth straight win back into government, but said, looking at the vote and looking at what happened with the NDP garnering a number of seats, especially in those urban ridings, he said, we hear you, Saskatchewan, we hear that you're looking for some change. And I felt like he hinted in his speaking notes right after the election that he was leaning into a more conciliatory approach when it came to working with the NDP. Did we see that?
I don't know if we necessarily saw a lot of working together. I mean, naturally, it's the government and the opposition. They're going to butt heads. That's almost the point of it. But there wasn't a whole lot of working together on things. I mean, you see, there were some emergency motions that the NDP put forward to kind of make statements on behalf of the assembly. And a lot of those, this ass party, they took them and then they changed every single word except for the first three, for example. So they completely flipped them on their heads in some cases. So there wasn't a huge amount of working together in that fashion. They did come together to pass the Sikh Heritage Month legislation to make April Sikh Heritage Month, which was unanimous. Everybody voted for it. So that was one opportunity.
And that one came on the heels of, there was a little bit of controversy there when the SAS party member, Raquel Hilbert, had come out with some comments about Jagmeet Singh.
Yeah.
I know there was a little bit of question there, but that was dealt with. The SAS party dealt with that in terms of removing her off some committees. And then shortly after, joined in on that. So was that was that part of the reparations, do you think, from that?
I would expect so. I'm not going to say that it wouldn't have happened if there hadn't been that controversy with Raquel Hilbert, but it seems like it was in time enough that it was part of it.
What did we see accomplished in this sitting? There were, obviously, I'm guessing, a lot of the follow-up work that was done was based on what the promises were during the election campaign, but was there a few things that you could point to that were, okay, here's some of the work that got done this spring?
Well, and a lot of it, like you say, was election campaign stuff. There was a lot of their affordability measures that they had promised in the election, they introduced in the fall, and just kind of the basic work of passing that this spring and getting it put into law. They passed the budget, which had a lot of those things in it, but they also did some of the work around their crime initiatives. Some of the things from that ministry to, for example, the $1 million fine, like putting that up for drugs. They changed things around so that things like needles could be considered weapons, street weapons. So some of the work around that got done this spring, and they're going to kind of continue that through the year.
I mentioned earlier, we're chatting, by the way, with Lisa Schick, 980 CJME senior reporter, covers the legislative assembly and all of the things that come out of our provincial government and, of course, make their way into our newsroom. The notion that both of Saskatoon and Regina essentially went to NDP seats in the election, with the exception of one seat in Saskatoon. Is that felt in the House? Do you feel that, other than visually seeing more NDP members in the discussions? Is there a feeling or a balance change, if you will, in the discussion?
Well, certainly it was interesting to see the NDP with that bigger caucus behind them. They have a little more oomph when they're doing things, more questions, things like that. It was the change that I saw more was because of how many experienced people the SAS party lost in this last election. I think it was 24 experienced MLAs they had who just weren't running anymore. They were retiring. They were doing something else, whatever. But there were a lot of new faces on that side, a lot of maybe backbenchers who hadn't done anything before, who were brought right to the fore and maybe got minister seats that certainly at the start weren't as comfortable with it. They weren't necessarily as comfortable speaking to media about their files, answering questions like that. So that was something that was a fair bit different than the SAS parties had before.
Right. What about the speaker? I'm curious how he is fairly new as a speaker. How has he been managing it? It feels like he's been trying to tamper down some of the explosive things and kind of maintained order in the House.
Yeah, he's been cracking the whip for sure. He's not really letting anybody get away with anything. He's calling them on things, and he's making sure, like, there's a lot of chirping back and forth, absolutely, but he's trying to keep that tamp down, and he keeps saying, because they have a lot of school groups who come through there, and he keeps coming back to that, and he's saying, I want these kids to see this legislature and go away like being proud, not being ashamed of how you adults who run our province are acting. So he's been doing a lot of that. He's been calling the NDP. They've had a lot of questions in the last few weeks about things that are happening kind of outside the legislature, outside of the assembly. And he's been saying, you know, you really need to keep this to the government business. That's what we're here to discuss. So he's been kind of stopping things on those lines.
Chatting about Todd Gowdy, of course, who is the speaker in the legislature. And I just wondered if it was him that was keeping the decorum at a different level, or if it was just a concentrated effort by the MLAs themselves to kind of hit a new level, or maybe a combination of both.
I would say it's a lot of Todd Gowdy. I mean, I'm not seeing a huge difference between the chirping. Certainly there's more on the NDP side, but there's more of them.
Chirping. So. I like that. I like how you've worked it in twice now. Lisa Schick is my guest, 980 CJME senior reporter. Let's talk a little bit about our premier's relationship with the prime minister, Mark Carney. He right away held that news conference where I know you were there, where he talked about basically let's push reset on this relationship and even hinted at the fact that there's going to have to be give and take on both sides. How have you seen that play out? And does that feel like it clearly is a different tone than what we saw under Trudeau?
Well, it's certainly different for Premier Mo. I mean, his whole thing through his leadership has been very much in opposition to Justin Trudeau, in opposition to the federal government. I mean, he started things in his speech saying, just watch me, a reference to Trudeau. And it's certainly been different in that respect because he's saying, we want to give this a chance. We want to have a better relationship so that we can get things done. But at the same time, he's also saying the way that we're going to get this relationship is for Saskatchewan to get some of what we want.
Which Scott Moe has laid out in this letter. He's written this letter to the prime minister. There's 10 points in there. Yesterday, he basically said this is not an ultimatum. He views this as an opportunity. How hopeful is he that they will be able to achieve these things?
You know, he seems pretty optimistic. He says that the ministers that they've spoken to so far, his conversations with Mark Carney, they have been willing to talk about these things, willing to do some work on these things. And so he says he's hoping they can do it. He really wants to do the work to get that better relationship. But he also says, you know, if they're not willing to do it, then we're going to have to cross that bridge when we come to it. And I anticipate if that happens, there could be kind of a slide back to the same kind of relationship as before.
Right. We've got a couple of minutes left chatting with Lisa Schick from our newsroom. I wanted to talk before we wrapped up here about this referendum discussion, which has been bubbling in the legislature. Of course, it's been quite loud in Alberta. Premier Mo has essentially said he's not in favor of separating from Canada, but he's also not in favor of the status quo, which I think there's going to be a lot of people that find themselves in that camp. So the question is, how do you deal with that? How do you ensure that you can build and chart a new course forward for Saskatchewan? Some people feel a referendum motion and vote is the way to go, even if, you know, there's a lot of people that I talk to regularly that say it may not be about actually separating. It's just the message that it sends to Ottawa. But the NDP were wanting to change that threshold in order to actually get that question up for a vote. How did that turn out?
Yeah, well, the NDP's argument is like even a vote, even if it doesn't get to the point of actually doing anything, would be really harmful because it would kind of destabilize things. If you're a big company, you're thinking about investing in Saskatchewan. Are you going to do that if it's going to suddenly become a separate country in a couple of years? And it didn't really go anywhere. The NDP had been talking about this. They wanted to raise the threshold. It's 15% now for
which
for
is higher than what Alberta just changed it to, right? They changed it to 10.
Yeah.
It was at 20 in Alberta. They changed it to 10. We're at 15. The NDP wanted to move it to 30.
Yeah, they wanted to double it, but only for a separation vote. Now, 15% is about 124,000 signatures, like verified, written down signatures. And the premier had been saying, you know, that's actually pretty high as well. But the NDP was saying this is an important enough vote that it needs to be higher. It needs to have a higher threshold to get to that.
And at the end of the day yesterday, which was the last day of the spring sitting, there was some kind of a hint that there was a study or something done on potential reform. Can you help me understand what that was?
Yeah, and the premier's mentioned the study before. It was 2019. The chief electoral officer had done a study just looking at, you know, the referendum legislation and ways to modernize that, optimize it. And he did say in that study, you know, 15% is really, really high. It's almost unnecessarily high because nobody's probably going to get to that. And there are some recommendations in there about ways that you can, that they'd be able to change the legislation to modernize it a little bit. And one of the things, it wasn't necessarily listed as a recommendation, but it did say that it wouldn't recommend, or it wouldn't say to reintroduce that clause because it has never been used. So if he were to do everything that's in that study, that's in that report, it wouldn't necessarily, the way that I read it, it wouldn't necessarily have any signature situation. It would just be if there's going to be a referendum, then it would be coming down from the lieutenant governor.
Okay. Well, Lisa, always appreciate you stopping in. We've got a little bit of time away now until the fall session starts up. So we will stay in touch and watch how things unfold, especially in the near future with the federal government. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Lisa Schick from the 980 CJME newsroom, our senior reporter following the legislature. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We open up the phone lines. We got lots of open lines for you today. We got lots to talk about. 1-877-332-8255. We'll be right back here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.